Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to revisit Brussels and what happened there with this terrorist attack. You know, we are sad. I mean, it's just you know, it's an atrocity what's really going on with these jihadists and how they're taking captive, you know, the freedom of everyone all around the world. I mean, right now we stand in solidarity with the people in Belgium and what they're going through. I mean, reports are that right now that their own government feel like they can't even protect their own citizens. And so you have people walking in fear in Europe. And one report is that they feel like they're sitting on a ticking time bomb. But we want to go straight into a collage of imagery of compassion and of love. And when you see this, I believe it's going to touch your heart, because now we're getting images all across Europe, all across Belgium, and people that are just identifying with what has just taken place. I want you to watch this. That's amazing, because I believe what the terrorists have done, you know, this thing's going to backfire on them. What we're seeing is that people are humans, that we stand together, that it doesn't take rocket science to see that, you know what, we don't want to see people blown up. We don't want to see people's lives destroyed. And so many people today, I'm encouraged, they're not allowing their hearts to get hardened. And they're not accepting this as a new norm. But with every attack from San Bernardino to Paris to now Brussels, they're saying, no, we cannot tolerate this. This has to end. We need to come together. And on today's program, we're going to share some more insights and some more detail into some of the analysis of what's happening, because there's arrests that have been made. My understanding is that they're increasing their efforts to try to find more of these jihadists. But as Belgium is saying right now, that they kind of feel like they're sitting on a ticking time bomb. What does this mean for Europe moving forward with all of these refugees that are all in Europe right now? And what does that mean for the United States? It's only by the mercies of God that we haven't seen a larger 9/11 attack. And many are saying in the government that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we will be attacked here in the United States.
We were just talking, it seemed, not too long ago about San Bernardino.
Yeah.
And here we are in Belgium, 34 people dead, Steve. Over 200 people injured. And
horrible.
It's horrible. And it needs to be addressed and it needs to be stopped. And, you know, many are saying, listen, this is just really the beginning. You know, things, many feel like this summer is going to be a very summer of rage. Reminds me of raw anger going everywhere, you know, but it's going to be the summer of rage. But we want to go straight to Glenn Beck and Scott Stewart. He's the VP of Tactical Services. He's going to give us some more detailed analysis about what is happening in Europe. Because remember, this is like This is like a perfect storm that's brewing out there. And you have all of these refugees, which they already know have been compromised by ISIS. And it could be the fall, the collapse of the European Union. Everything right now is being held like with Band-Aids. And we need the mercies of God. But I want you to watch as they begin to unpack and share some more details about what's happening in Europe. Watch this.
Joining me now from Stratfor is Vice President of Tactical Analysis, Scott Stewart. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
You bet. First, let's start, before we get into deeper analysis on this, tell us what we know about the attackers today. Who are they? Is anybody taking credit for this at this point? What do we think?
Well, we don't know the identities of the exact attack, of the attackers themselves, but the Islamic State has claimed credit for the attack, and I believe that it's a credible claim based on the history of things that we've seen in Brussels specifically, you know, the attack on the Jewish Museum, the links to the Paris attacks, and the arrests over the last couple of weeks. So really, the claim by the Islamic State is probably valid.
Tell me, this is in Europe, this is an attack on Washington, D.C. It's the home of NATO, but it is also the home of the EU. Is that just a coincidence that this is happening at the capital city? Is this just, you know, Brussels right next to France and just a hotbed? Or is this an attack on the EU intentionally?
Well, I think it's kind of both and all of the above. I mean, the problem is there because of the environment in Brussels and just the number of jihadis who live there. I mean, I think proportionally, there are more jihadists fighting with the Islamic State and with al-Qaeda overseas than there are even French or British citizens. So they're going to have issues with people that are living there. But I think the symbology is there too. Listen, they went to that metro stop near the EU headquarters on purpose. They detonated the one device near the American Airlines ticket counter on purpose. That's the symbology there. That's the message you're trying to get out.
With Donald Trump saying that he was, he thinks we should get out of NATO because it's worthless. What would your advice be on that one?
Well, I think certainly, let's face it, for a long time, the Americans have been the number one contributor to NATO, and certainly we are the most capable of NATO. But really, our allies there need us. And if you go over into Europe, you talk to the Poles, you talk to the Czechs, the other members of NATO, they really realize the importance of having a strong American ally who can, back them up and then can protect them from the menace of Russia.
Yeah, let's talk about the menace of Russia here just a little bit, if you can. Russia has its own problems with Islamic extremism. They take a very heavy hand there, but they have their own problems. Putin is setting himself up as a friend of all of Europe, but they are also funding a lot of the fascistic new leaders that are rising up, from the Golden Dawn Party to Le Pen in France. They are sprinkling the seeds through cash to help some of these very spooky fascist groups to rise up and cause chaos on the streets. What do you know about that?
Let's face it, Russia and the Soviets before them has long played this game of surrogates. We saw it in this country with, the radical groups that they were, subsidizing during the 60s. We saw it with basically the way the Marxist International was funded, the Bader-Meinhof, all those other groups were trained by, the Stasi. They were trained by the KGB, the IRA, all those the Italian Red Brigades. So it's really not surprising to see them use that kind of tactic again. And indeed, I believe they're still using, the Marxist card. If you look at Turkey with groups like the DHKPC there, the Marxist terrorist group that's been attacking the Turkish government. So the use of proxies is definitely something that Moscow has done and will continue to do.
How close do you think Europe is to, I don't even know, Islamic war, civil war? You have these radical groups that are just not going to be. I mean, people don't change. When they're hungry, they feel threatened. when they feel their way of life is over, they will do the same kinds of things that Germany did in the 1930s and 40s. And it seems those seeds are being planted and watered. What happens to Europe? Do they go into some sort of Islamic jihad? Do we see revolution on the streets? Do you see the breakup of the EU?
Well, I think the EU is definitely, is crumbling. They're having problems, holding themselves together.
How does that play out in the scale for each individual country? Does it break apart and we go into chaos, or does that just fade away?
I think eventually it's going to fade away, but we are going to see problems, and we've seen not just the right, but also the left, extreme mm-hmm. left, building up in places like Spain, right. Like Italy, like Greece. So you definitely do have extremism on both ends of the spectrum rising up, and that is going to result in renewed violence. We're going to see renewed terrorism, from both of these wings, and it is going to lead to problems. I don't think it's going to, take Europe down to, the status of Libya or some other, Somalia or someplace. But I do think that the European countries are going to have to struggle to keep these, extremists under control.
The Muslim extremists or the political extremists?
All the above. And quite frankly, the Muslim extremists, the jihadists also pose a very, very real threat to Europe right now. And we've seen that. The good thing is, though, it's not a huge high level threat. It's kind of a persistent low level threat against these soft targets. That's what we're going to continue to see in Europe, as well as in the United States and elsewhere.
But you have countries like Sweden that is on the verge of collapse economically because they didn't expect people just to come and take, and that's what's happening, come and take and then not replenish the tax base, but also not replenish the culture, changing the culture entirely. I don't understand how you have the resources to fight the right, the left, and the Islamic threat when you're already bankrupt from a giant government state.
Well, absolutely. It goes back to that old Margaret Thatcher quote, right? Socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. Right. And we're rapidly approaching that point in many parts of Europe.
What is happening with us? What should the president be doing today to make sure that we are not in this same situation?
Well, no, I believe that really the big thing when we see attacks like Brussels, we need to just stay the course. We can't go crazy either way. We just need to continue this strangling of the Islamic State and of Al-Qaeda, and we need to be relentless against them, physical pressure. But we also need to continue to work with our allies and encourage them to fight the ideological war, which is really the root of this whole thing is ideologically. Well, we can't kill our way out of this problem.
We're not is Europe ahead of us or are they behind us? Because we're not even admitting that this is Islamic extremism. When the socialist president of France comes out and says this is Islamic extremism as we're at war, he sounds like a cowboy compared to our president.
And that's especially comical considering the way that the Europeans used to view George Bush.
Yeah.
And they saw him as being such a cowboy, mm-hmm. following the 9/11 attacks.
Well, they've all been telling us for years we have to be more like Europe. I think we're seeing now why so many of us said, no, we don't want to be like Europe. They're paying a heavy price for their multiculturalism. Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate it.
Wow. Well, here we are, and what's amazing about this is that how can you confront an enemy that you won't even mm-hmm. identify with? I mean, Secretary of State just declared ISIS that they did, it was genocide, mm-hmm. what happened amongst the Christians, but he used an acronym called Daesh. And it's like,
who's that?
What is that?
Right.
It's the acronym that means jihadist army. And so are we just supposed to wait? Listen, we don't have to look too far to what lies ahead for the United States. All we have to see is what's happening in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. And you got to ask yourself, what is the tipping point? Well, Steve, it looks like potentially we are in a perfect storm, mm-hmm. Perfect storm that is involving the economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, oil is selling at $40 a barrel, and it increased, but you know, reports are that's not going to last long. You have situations going on with terrorism. And, of course, we saw riots, and the riots have slowed down. But in this political environment we're in, mm-hmm. we're seeing protesters become very violent.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying that this could be the summer of rage. This is something that you know, Greg's been talking about. And prophetically, and even Chuck Pierce said, listen, because of what the president said to Israel, we're going to go back to the 1960s. And what do we have in the 1960s? We had race riots. We had the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of the president, John F. Kennedy, and then his brother, Bobby. And this was a really tumultuous time. We had protesters. It was mm-hmm. the rise of the feminist movement. And it was just wild,
yeah.
absolutely chaotic. And could this be that summer all over again? If you notice, you got some of the best of times and some of the worst of times, because on a previous program, we were talking about how we could potentially be in Azusa 2.0. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got all these good things happening as well as some really awful things that are on the horizon. And we need wisdom. We need to hear God. What we're going to bring to you with Glenn Beck, PJ Media, as they begin to talk about what is on the horizon for America. I want you to watch this.
I want to talk a little bit about Brussels, the meaning, and really how we shape up. I want to start with this. We have let more Muslim refugees into the United States in the last 5 years than the entire Muslim population of Belgium. This is coming our way. And a man who knows it really well from PJ Media is Patrick Poole, good friend of the program. Hi, Patrick. How are you, sir?
Get along. Thanks for having me.
Okay, tell us what happened, because this weekend most Americans don't understand that there were riots in one of the suburbs. Can you start us at the weekend? What happened?
Over the weekend, Glenn, we saw that Saleh Abdesalem, who was one of the prime operators with the November attacks in Paris, which killed more than 100 people. He was arrested in the Brussels suburb of Molenbeek. And in fact, this suburb, Molenbeek, is a predominantly Muslim area.
It's a no-go zone, is it not?
Well, yeah, and in fact, the Home Affairs Minister said after the Paris attack, and when it was reported that the attackers were tied to this city outside of Brussels, that he said the government has no effective control over the area, meaning these no-go zones that just several months ago the media was telling us didn't exist.
Patrick, most people don't they're not following Europe. I bet a lot of people don't even realize the significance of Brussels, the home of the EU. And they don't have any clue, because the press does such a poor job, and they're so politically correct, to explain to America, Europe is on the verge of falling. Would you agree with that?
Well, certainly they have considerable problems, and it's clear with the response to this arrest over the weekend. And then they knew that there was going to that there were other members of the cell that they weren't able to round up, and we're hearing the Belgian counterterrorism authorities are admitting that they just have no way to be able to handle the scope of this threat. And we're hearing the same things from Germany, from France, from Great Britain, and
Sweden,
we're also,
Norway.
Yeah, and we're seeing that the FBI director came out and said here several months ago that they're tracking 900 potential ISIS suspects in every single state of the union, and that's just an enormous task for our counterterrorism apparatus.
And I will tell you that I think that 900 is probably a very low number. Those are just probably the ones that we know. At George Mason University yesterday, you want to tell us what happened there?
Well, the reporting is that there were three students who were in a dorm, some kind of fire or explosion. The police discovered that there were bomb-making components, pipes, nails, the shavings from match heads, which is used as, to trigger pipe bombs these three students at George Mason University right here in the D.C. area have been arrested, and yet the police have not identified who those students are yet.
Is that unusual, Patrick?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, they might be continuing an investigation. You know, there are some excuses. But, Glenn, we see this time and again where, you know, we saw it with the attack in my hometown of Columbus just last month, where the guy attacked an Israeli restaurant with a machete, shouting Allahu Akbar. And within, you know, minutes, the police officials were coming out. This isn't terror related. And yet it turns out that the guy had been on the FBI terror watch list. And, you know, so there's this concerted effort in incidents like this to downplay the source of where all these attacks are coming from. And yet here in Belgium, these were known individuals. They knew that the cell was out there operating, and they still weren't able to prevent it. That is a serious problem.
This is also why Donald Trump does well in the polls, and why they don't want anyone who is a politician or part of the system, because they believe, people believe, that everyone is lying to us, and this is a good example of it. We all know what's going on. The president today spoke out of Cuba, would refuse to say Islamic terrorism. There's no way to win this, Patrick. There's no way to win this unless we get serious about it.
Absolutely, and we've really not seen any of the presidential candidates really forcefully come out and address the issue of the ideology that drives this, and the fact that the Obama administration for the past 7 years has had an active campaign to suppress any ability for our national security and counterterrorism agencies to be able to look at ideology, as we saw in December with the San Bernardino attack, where the ICE officials were not able to ask, you know, the wife of the attacker that, you know, what her ideology was. And so here we are. And there's other news about purging DHS files of terrorist suspects, Hillary's terrorist hands-off list, which Judicial Watch just got confirmation of through FOIA. Yeah, there's just so much left unexplained. And where is Congress in all this?
I talked to Ted Cruz this morning right after the bombing, and I said, you know, you just appointed as one of your advisors on terror, Frank Gaffney, which I thought was interesting because Frank is kind of like you, Patrick. The mainstream media doesn't want to talk to you. They don't want to talk to Frank Gaffney. Many people in the government don't want to talk to you guys because you say the truth. And it's interesting to me that the people who the Bush administration listened to at first, and then when it got too politically incorrect, stopped listening to them. Those are the people that are coming back around. General Boykin is another one that are now going to be listened to finally. Question is, how late in the game are we, Patrick?
We're very behind. The fact is, while ISIS is slowly getting rolled back in Syria and Iraq, we have AQIM operating in Africa, conducting terror attacks virtually every day, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, and now we see these large scales. What we saw today is virtually unprecedented in Western Islamic terrorism, where you've had a group be able to pull off two spectacular attacks within 4 months successively. I mean, we've never seen that. So clearly their networks are firmly established. And Glenn, there's no reason to believe that the same problem is right here in the United States. I mean, we'd be foolish to think that the problem is somehow over there across the pond and that we don't have the same problems here.
I believe we have on tomorrow night's program exclusive video of the Muslim Brotherhood talking here in America about a summer of rage and how they are beginning to work with Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter for a summer of 1968, we could see this here clearly. We could see this here in America, and that changes absolutely everything.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just the domestic, you know, radicalization, which is really geared towards ginning up support for the Democratic Party for the election in November. But then you have, you know, genuine terrorist groups like ISIS, you know, Al-Qaeda, you know, core still wants to get in the game. And you have other terrorist groups who want to improve their profile. And then you have all these lone wolves, you know, disconnected individuals, individual jihad, like we saw in San Bernardino. The threat is metastasizing, and it's clear that this administration has not been up to the challenge.
Patrick, thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn.
Appreciate it. More on this in just a second. But I want to remind you what I said this summer. As we got ready this last summer, and I said the seasons are changing and things are going to start happening now, I talked to you about three things that I thought were coming. Economic instability, riots on the streets in America, and Islamic terror. Those are the three things. We have one that has begun. We have the second that has begun now over in Europe. But both of those will become a part of our lives, I believe, before November's election. The last one is tied to the first two. These two happen. Economic instability becomes a given.
Summer of rage. And just as Glenn was sharing about that, I was thinking, Steve, about Detroit. Mm. Detroit went through a collapse, a bankruptcy that was so horrible that there were not enough funds to actually finance their own police department. And the police is putting out announcements warning people, come to Detroit at your own risks. Can you imagine a situation where the economy is so bad that we can't even afford to protect ourselves, and then the jihadists will take advantage of it? Listen, we need prayer. We need to seek the heart of God. We need to be vigilant in our communities and be aware of what's happening. Pay attention this summer. Really pay attention over the next 6 months. This is going to be a very interesting time, and you want to be prepared. If you've been watching this program, we've been talking about prudent preparation and the things that you need to do to prepare mentally, physically, and most of all, spiritually. Because if you do, God will give you the wisdom, and he'll lead you, and he'll direct you in every which way that you need to go.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.